Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
And I'm actually going to speak to you about today for a few minutes is about how much Jesus loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. How much he cares about us, how we come to him. And I want to tell you, as you saw, like I saw this come to life, and I saw like where Jesus was tempted, and you see, we sat by the pool of Siloam where the blind man was healed and walked up to the Temple Mount. I just was reminded about how much Jesus loves and cares about us. Like there's nothing that can separate us from that love. And I think the thing is, as we come to Jesus and how we approach him is so important. And so today, I was so excited as I was writing this sermon because this perspective of him loving us first is what really changes it all for all of us. It, like how we come to Jesus and that relationship that we have for him. In fact, we were with a rabbi who said, God, the only thing God doesn't have is a relationship with us. We have to give that to God. We get to be a part of that process, and God desires that. And so everything that we talk about, how we live our lives, is built out of this love for God. And I want to tell you one of the things I found and just refound was just a love for his word. I mean, to get in there and find out, like, what God has said. And the power of the Bible, it's interesting. As we were going around, they're like, we think this is where this happened. We think this is where that happened. And I go, well, where's the records? Like, where? Like, did they not keep records of this stuff? And they said, no, the records were destroyed. And I thought to myself, what an incredible gift that the Bible has survived for over 3,000 years, right? And that hasn't been lost. And I just think, again, as I was thinking, I'm like, man, we take this book for granted. We take what God has put in this book for granted. There's life. There's everything we need literally in this book. And so I want to challenge us. Let's fall back in love with his word. Let's let the Holy Spirit bring his word to life again. You might have read this, but I'm going to really challenge in this next year. Let's read through God's word together. Let's really dig into what God is saying. How many of you have read the Bible for the first time this year? Anybody in the room? Like we've really been, how, and it's changed your life, right? I mean, as you're reading through scripture, it's life-changing. Here's what I love about it. You're going to read it again, and God's word will come alive to you in a different kind of way. Like, it's amazing how this is alive and active, and as you dig into it, it's literally life-changing. And we've been, like, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the series He Sees, and really have been digging into some cultural issues, some challenging issues, some relevant issues. But everything we talk about is based in God's love. If you don't understand God from that perspective, you don't understand him. It's all based in his love, in this desire to have a relationship with us. Like, it's not just coming here. It's not just, like, sitting in the pews. It's not just trying to do everything that's right. This is a relationship thing, right? Where we have a relationship with Jesus. And how we come to Jesus can sometimes be the tension. He sees that there's a tension when we come to him. And I want to dig into this today, looking at how should we come to Jesus? This tension of coming to him. How should we come? As a friend, as our Savior, as someone who can help pull us out of the pit of despair and sin? Or do we look at him as he's our judge, he's harsh, he's cruel, I don't want to bring God these things because I'm afraid, I'm ashamed, I have guilt and shame. How do we come to Jesus? And I want to look at this today. That's what we come to in the next part of our scripture. The tension of coming to Jesus. The tension is many times people are afraid to approach God. Maybe unforgiveness is separated from God. Maybe they don't feel worthy. There are some people in this room right now, you don't feel worthy to come to God and ask him for big things. In fact, you come this meek little thing like, God, if you could do it for me, I'm sorry for all that I've done, and I have a lot of guilt and shame, and if you could do just one little thing. No, we got to approach him with boldness. Approach the throne of God with boldness. The good news is there is nothing you can do that can separate you from the love of Jesus. Hear me when I say that. Nothing you can do that will separate you from his love. The enemy uses everything he can to keep us separate from Jesus. The good news, there is nothing that can separate you from the love. And today, if you don't know Jesus based on a relationship of love, my prayer for you is that you get to know him from a relationship of love, not of anything else. Not of religion, not of trying to do it all on your own, trying to control things, but to literally know that, first of all, he loves you, and there is nothing you can do that will change that. No matter how far away you are, or how lost you are, nothing. When you say the word nothing, can separate you from his love. I think when we first get saved, we understand that. But when we move into our lives and we start walking with Jesus, I think sometimes we forget it. We've got to go back to our first love. The first moment you experience the love of Jesus and you realize like how good he was. Don't ever forget that moment. I love what Romans 8, 38 through 39 says. And it's this. It says this, I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above and the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love that God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you. I will tell you this, so you can walk back and you can have a wall. God doesn't go anywhere. But in your heart, there can be walls that are built up because of what you've experienced in life. So how should we come to Jesus? Jesus desires to have a close relationship with you and a friendship, talking with him every day, understanding from that kind of perspective. See, some of us think, well, I have to perform for Jesus to love me. If I do this wrong, then how could Jesus love me? None of that matters in the kingdom. And what I love is when you look at a little child, and you see a child who has not been made, and the only way I could think of is crusty from this world. Some of us adults, we're crusty because we've been through a lot of stuff, right? We're a little crusty. We have a hard time trusting God because we've been hurt. When you hear God's your father, all of a sudden you start to go, man, if he's my father and my dad was terrible to me, how do I reconcile that? You lose the childlike faith. If you watch a child, they have faith. And I love this watching, like with Huddy and Parker. They have faith that when they know, and if they can get to me, they can get anything they ask for. All right? That's fun. The fun thing about being a grandparent. Right? But they know, right? Your kids know that if they can ask you for something, you're not going to turn them down. The things of this world has not, they've not lost their faith. They've not lost their trust. They've not lost the things that they need to hold on to. God does not want to be far away. That's not the kind of God we serve. We don't have to be hiding out in the shadows because of what we've done. We can boldly come to the throne and ask God to help us. Our portion of scripture today is so clear, and it's just a few verses here. I want to read it together, Matthew 19, 13 through 15. One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. I want you to know here at Hope City, we will never scold a child for trying to come to Jesus. We're going to make a way for children, whatever it takes, because that's something I love about God, is he clears his lap off. Jesus clears his lap off and says this. But Jesus said, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. And he placed his hands on their heads and he blessed them before he left. I love this set of verses. If we come to Jesus, we can expect blessing in our lives. But we have to come to him like children because the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. So this idea of having an attitude like children have, they trust. They have, most children have humility. They don't lose their humility till teenage years, right? Then they kind of lose that. They trust. What did Jesus mean? He did not call us to be spiritually immature, but he called us to come to him like children do, with complete trust, obedience, humility, openness to God without the questions, and knowing our self-worth comes from him alone. Some of you will only trust God if God lays out the plan for you. But what about the time when God says, I'm not laying out the plan for you, will you trust me? I'm asking you to walk this out, and God walks alongside of us. And then how about self-worth? Because you have to have an idea of self-worth, knowing like, man, I'm like, my self-worth comes from the fact that Jesus died for me. Jesus calls me a masterpiece. I don't care if you've not gotten self-worth anywhere else. Jesus will give you self-worth because he died for you. Having an openness to God, laying it all out on the table. Some of you are holding on to things that God's asking you to give him because you're so afraid, like, what does God think of me? And I want you to know he loves you. You can lay it out. And here's the thing about it is God already knows. He's just waiting for you to hand it to him. He already knows what you're walking through. He knows your thoughts. He knows the idea of saying, okay, God, like, I know you already know and you still love me in spite of me. Do you hear that? In spite of me, Jesus still loves me. In spite of the things that I don't get right, in spite of the things that maybe I choose to go a different way, a child never questions they do question the direction of their parents tell them to go, but hopefully you can get them in line, right? That question of why, right? That's the first word I think kids know, and why, right? That's the first two words kids learn. But you know what? This is not the first time Jesus called us to come back to him like a child. He said it in Matthew 18, 2 through 3. Multiple times he said the kingdom of God belongs to those that are like child. And I love this. Jesus always made room for children. He had a special place in his heart. Even when the adults tried to stop them from coming, Jesus was clear that no one should stop children from coming. And I want to tell you, don't let anyone or anything keep you from what God has for you in your life, for what Jesus wants to do. And we hold on to that, and we attain that by coming to him. Children were important to Jesus, and he made room for them so that he could experience him. And that's why I want Hope City to be a place where children feel welcome and they feel loved. They come here and they know that Jesus loves them. It's why we do anything we can to reach and disciple children and in our Gen Now programs. That's why we're looking at building more space to open up for our kids, because our kids need it. This kingdom principle was important. The spiritual, so then we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean to come to Jesus like a child? The spiritual principle of coming to Jesus with the same awe, wonder, trust, humility, self-confidence. Listen, if you lose your awe of who Jesus is, I think you've lost a lot. And what does the enemy try to always do? Steal that awe. What does the enemy cause you to do? To doubt Jesus. Well, man, you pray. Does God really show up? See, those are the things that the enemy tries to steal, our wonder. Looking at Jesus and saying, God, I know you can do anything I ask you to do. Letting self get in the way. Scripture says this when it comes to boldly approaching the throne of God. And as we approach the throne, the idea of how we approach him is so important. Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that you may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need. If you don't approach the throne, though, you're never going to experience this. And some of us, we hold back because we feel like, man, like I've already said, like, God, you know what I've done. You know what I even did yesterday. How can I boldly approach your throne? You boldly can approach the throne because Jesus got on a cross over 2,000 years ago, died for your sins, loves you, views you as a masterpiece, views you as perfect, and you can step forward because of what he's done, not what you do. That's how you can approach the throne. Some of us, we need to stop praying wimpy prayers, and we need to start praying bold prayers, because that's how we approach the throne of God, with boldness. God, I'm asking you to save my family. I'm asking you to provide in ways that I can only imagine. Stop praying wimpy prayers. Approach the throne with boldness because you're his child. Many times the enemy tries to convince that you can only approach him when you have everything all together and you're living a perfect life. That's not going to happen because we're not perfect. If we were perfect, we wouldn't need Jesus. So stop trying to get it all together and say, God, here's the pieces of my life. You put me back together. Here's where I've made mistakes. You put me back together. He loves us enough. If you have a child, you know they have no problem coming and asking for big things. Huddy and I were at Costco, or actually Huddy and Hudson's our grandson. He has no problems asking for big things. We drove by the Bluey airplane, which is like $60. He goes, Pop-Up, I need that Bluey airplane. And I started thinking, okay, how can I get this for him? Okay, we got to do this. And then we go to the next aisle, and there's this giant dinosaur. I could have spent $500 for him as I walked out of Costco, right? He has no problems of boldly approaching, asking for things. How about we have that with Jesus? Well, Jesus, I don't want to ask for too much, or look, these things seem so small. If you have a need, no matter how big or small, and it's important to you, then it's important to him. That's how we boldly approach the throne of God. And what I see people doing is they wait until they're desperate, and then they hand it over to him. Boldly approaching the throne from the perspective of a child is, God, you are first. I bring my needs to you first because you love me. I'm bringing it to you first. Listen, some of you are exhausted because you've been trying to do it on your own. And Jesus says, boldly approach the throne. Come with big prayers. Stop trying to do it on your own. How many of you get exhausted when you do it on your own? I'm there, man. If you're exhausted, take it to him and say, God, I need your help. There is nothing that you can do that will cause Jesus to love you any more or any less than he already does. So let's take hold of what he promises us to do. Let's take hold. Let's take some bold prayers. Let's get a hold of him. There's some of you that are sitting in this room today and you say, Pastor, I prayed before and I didn't see God show up. And you're convinced that God has not heard you when you pray. I want you to look back. He might have done it differently than you expected, but here's what I know. God always hears you. He'll always answer you. There's not one time. If a child comes and he's asking me for something, I promise you, I won't ignore him. And that's what God will never ignore you. But there's a quiet tension many of us feel when we come to Jesus. A tension between desire and doubt, between need and unworthiness, between hunger for God and fear of bothering him. You are never bothering him when you share your heart with him. That's what he wants. You hear me? He wants you to open up in your moments of difficulties and challenges. And God, here's my heart. Here's my heart. God, I need your help. The truth is, some of you are broken because you're trying to fix yourself. And until you take your heart to him and say, God, here it all is. I'm laying it all on the table. And he comes along and he says, finally, now I can help. You've been trying to do it on your own for too long. The parents in Matthew 19 felt this tension too. One of the things that you learn about overseas, they have no idea of personal space, right? In America, we have ideas of personal space. So when you hear them say that Jesus was surrounded by people, what I want you to understand is he was pressed in on all sides. Literally no personal space. I mean, they are in your business, right? And these parents felt that. Jesus was surrounded by people. But they wanted to bring their children to Jesus, but there were barriers, voices, and resistance all along the way. And here's the good news. Jesus sees every tension that stands between you and him, yet he still invites you to come. The issue is, he doesn't move. We just got to come to him. Some of you might feel a little bit far away from Jesus. Here's what I know. He hasn't moved. Maybe you have. So come back. Come back. I want to share with you really quickly 4 points about today's message that's so important. Point number one, there was a desire to come to Jesus. Matthew 13:13, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay hands on them and pray for them. Is Jesus the most important thing in your life? There's a lot of things that get in the way. Do you have a desire to come to him? If you don't, I want to encourage you, start to pray for that. Lord, give me a desire to put you number one in my life. The parents had one simple goal, to get close enough to Jesus for him to touch their children. What's your goal? Are you desiring to get close to him? Because I promise you, if you'll get close to him, it'll change your life. They weren't asking for a sermon, a miracle, or a place in the inner circle. They just wanted his blessing. Incredible things happen in our lives when God blesses us, and we access that by coming to Jesus. You want a blessing in your life? You're praying for areas of your life? Stop trying to do it on your own and hand it over to him. The desire to come to Jesus. Part of coming to Jesus is with the faith of a child, is realizing you can't do anything in life apart from God's blessing. You are not bad enough. You are not mean enough. You're not strong enough to do life alone. You got to come to him. You got to lay it at the altar. Well, Pastor, I have a hard time. I have a trust issue. Whatever it is that your excuse has been, put them aside and say, Jesus, all I want is you. I want you in my life to take control of things. And I think not to necessarily fix all the things that are going on, but I'll tell you this, when you get close to him, all of a sudden things start to come into line. When you get close to him, when you make it a priority in your life, doesn't mean that everything will be perfect and you won't ever experience difficulties. Listen, in this life, we are going to face difficulties. We're going to face challenges. This is not just like a slot machine where you go, okay, Jesus, I'm going to get close to you and I'm going to pull the handle and everything's going to be perfect, right? That's not it. Here's the thing, though. When you walk through difficulties and you're close to him, you know who's going to take care of it for you. You know who's going to be there for you. You know that all things work together for good to those that love him and serve him. That scripture doesn't say all things are good, but he's going to bring it out and he's going to work it out together with you. I can't promise you that every problem in your life, you're going to be problem free. I also know that God doesn't do it the way we want him to do it most times. He does it the way that's best. So stop telling God what to do, because some of us are like, okay, God, I'm only going to do this if you do this and you do that. How about you just lay it all down at the altar and say, Jesus, whatever you want to do, you've got control. I just want to love you more. That desire to love him, that desire to get close to him. A lot of people don't come to Jesus first in their lives. Sometimes he's the last person we go to. Go to him first. How about we take our businesses? How about we take our jobs? How about we take our families and lay it all out on the line? Here's my fear in America. We come one day a week, we meet Jesus here, and then we don't meet him all week long until we come back here again. And God is saying, I want you 24/7, all of your life. Don't be afraid to come to me, a desire to come. They also don't realize, people don't realize the importance of relying on God like a child in every aspect of their lives. We're good at giving God 95%, but what about the final 5%? There are things that you're holding on to. You're afraid, thinking, man, if God only knew, he already knows. So lay it out and give God everything, that relationship with him. This is radical and it's life-changing. Every one of us have moments like parents in the portion of the scripture, moments when all we want is for Jesus to put his hand on something. Our family, our decisions, our future, our fractured hearts. And I want to tell you, if you're close to Jesus already, when these things come along, I promise you they're going to be a game changer. Here's the problem. Most people don't have a desire to come to Jesus until things go bad. We become 911 prayers. When things go bad, okay, God, I promise. If you fix this, then I'm going to love you more. Right? It's the 911 prayers. How about we pray that kind of way when things are going good, in season and out of season, and when the bad times come, then we're ready for it. We're not trying to get close to Jesus, we already are. The desire to come to Jesus is in itself a sign that the Holy Spirit is working. But desire doesn't mean the road will be easy. So I want to ask you, what are you desiring today? What's your go-to? Do you have a hunger and a thirst for more of Jesus? I promise you, if you will say, Lord, help me to have a hunger and a thirst for you, you're going to get closer than ever before. Point number two, there was a resistance to coming to Jesus. Matthew 19:13, but the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. Don't be surprised when you make the decision to come to Jesus and you face resistance. Because there is nothing more important in our lives than being close to him. And if the enemy can try to tear you apart and keep you away from Jesus, he'll do it, I promise. And isn't it amazing that sometimes the obstacles come from the religious crowd, which is exactly what was happening. The disciples were saying, no, you can't get close to Jesus. They thought they were protecting Jesus. But Jesus saw something deeper. The very people closest to Jesus were unintentionally blocking access to him. Don't ever block access to Jesus in somebody else's life. By trying to say, well, man, if you can get this taken care of, you can get that taken care of. Don't block the access. How about we take everything to Jesus and we do it together? There are times when people come up to me and they say, man, I just need something in my life. I've got all this stuff going on. I don't know. And you know what my first response is? Let's go to Jesus together. We're going to carry it to him. I don't have the answers for you, but I know who does. Don't be religious. Don't try to make all these rules and regulations for people in your life to come to Jesus, because there are none. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have it all together. In fact, if your life is a hot mess, you are in good company, because Jesus works with hot messes best. Today, the resistance comes in many forms. Maybe it's voices of guilt. You're too messed up to come. Maybe it's voices of shame. You should be better by now. Like, look at you. You're in this spot. How many of you know the enemy is the accuser of the brethren? So he uses guilt. He uses shame. Voices of religion. You need to clean yourself up first. Voices of fear. What if Jesus won't receive you? Voices of insecurity. What if Jesus, what is Jesus going to do when he finds out who I really am? Is he going to reject me? Maybe you've experienced rejection in your life, your whole life. I promise you this, if you come to Jesus, you will never be rejected. Voices of doubt. I don't know if Jesus could do it for me. Sometimes the loudest resistance comes from inside our own hearts. What is keeping you from Jesus right now? Don't let resistance keep you away. I want to promise you this. If it's resistance is keeping you away, that means Jesus has an incredible blessing when you get close. What is keeping you away? Whatever it is, drop it and say, God, I hand this to you. I need your help. Don't let the enemy speak louder than God. When our doubts come and our question is, God, could you do this? You know who's speaking. Don't let the enemy speak louder than God in your life. The parents faced the tension, the pressure, and the judgment, and they still came. Whatever is keeping you away from him, some of you, honestly, you don't believe that God will meet you if you do come to him. Well, I tried that, and I didn't see God show up. Well, try it again. I promise you, God has something for you. Jesus sees the tension. He sees the invisible pushback that the enemy throws at you and you face when you try to pray, worship, believe, and surrender. How many of you have noticed that sometimes when you try to get closer to God, more things explode in your life? The minute you say it, in fact, I promise you, if you walk away today saying, man, my goal in my heart is to get close to Jesus, you better get ready because the enemy is going to come and try to do everything he can to separate you. And the question will be, is do you let him? Push through the tension and ask God to restore your childlike faith and the perspective so that you're able to come to Jesus and experience all that he has for you. And I love this because point number three is Jesus interrupted the resistance. Matthew 19:14, but Jesus said, let the children come to me, don't stop them. Jesus is saying that for your life. He will step in and he will stop the resistance if you'll come to him. He defends your right to come. Jesus doesn't merely welcome people. He will defend your right to come to him, but you got to give it to him. He confronts anyone or anything that stands in the way, and he doesn't whisper it. He declares it. Let them come. The three words that Jesus still wants to hear from speaks over our life today. To the parents, Jesus was saying, you're not bothering me. To the disciples, he was saying, don't block the way. To the self-condemned, he's saying, you're not disqualified. To the afraid, he says, I want you here. To the weary, he says, you belong in my presence. You may feel like there's no other place in life that you belong, but if you have Jesus, that's all you need. Just know that you always belong in the kingdom. And I want to tell you something. In the church world, I've heard this a lot of times where people are like, well, I just don't feel like I can fit in. I don't feel like I can belong. Get in there and start showing up. Because I promise you, Jesus will show up. This is not the Jesus of human imagination. This is the Jesus of Scripture. The Jesus who sees the tension, moves toward it, not away from it. The God who still says, and I love this, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give to you is light. Matthew 11:28-30. You wonder how Jesus is going to respond to you when he comes to you, when you come to him? Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me all. Will you say the word all? Listen, if you're having trouble coming to him and you're carrying heavy burdens, take this scripture. In fact, take your cameras out. Take a picture of it. Some of you, you need to write this up on your mirrors. You need to put this everywhere you go so that the enemy can't convince you that if you come to him, you're going to be turned away. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. If you're carrying a heavy burden in this place today, come to him. If you're trying to do this on your own, come to him. If you're tired and exhausted, come to him. Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. You're not sleeping at night because you're so worried about stuff. It's not because you have an overactive mind. It's because you haven't brought it to him. Take my yoke upon you. When you look at yokes, if a yoke is heavy, it means you're trying to carry too much of the weight. How about we say, God, I give it to you. Cast your cares on him. Literally, that idea of casting your cares. And I got to go. Why? I just looked at the clock. Woo. Okay, we got to go. Key number four, Jesus honors the simplicity of childlike faith. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Jesus is not saying adults must act childish. He's saying, bring me your uncluttered trust. Somewhere along the way, we lose childlike faith. And here's what I want you to know. As parents, one of the jobs we have is to continue to cultivate that childlike faith in our children. Don't take faith away. Don't build doubt into your children. Our job is to help raise children who are innocent and the innocence of simplicity. And that is what true childlike faith is all about. It's having an innocence or a simplicity. It's a conscience. It's wholehearted surrender. A faith, the faith of a child opens hearts for God to experience his love without reservation. See, that's the thing. A lot of us come to God and we have giant walls built around our hearts because we've been hurt. You're carrying things that maybe all throughout life the enemy has just confirmed over and over. You don't belong. Guilt and shame. Look at you. Look at all the choices you've made. Look at the mess of a life you live. Like, all of those things need to be put away. And if those are what you constantly hear in your ears, I would say, Jesus, I hand you those things that I'm constantly hearing. What do you want to do with them and what's the truth? As we close tonight, Jesus didn't only receive these children, he touched them, he blessed them, he affirmed them, and he did it in public in front of everyone who said they didn't belong. I believe Jesus is about to do that to people in your life and in your own life where you felt like you don't belong. Jesus is saying, I have a place for you. When we press past the tension, past the fear, the shame and opposition, you're going to discover a Jesus who still lays his hands on his people, who still blesses, who still welcomes, who still says, come to me, all you are who are heavy burdened. You may feel like you don't belong anywhere in this life, and here's what I want you to know. Jesus says, come to me. He sees the tension, and he blesses those that come.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.